Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in to Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks in the studio just momentarily because Todd is actually here today. He's just having a conversation over in the corner over there. I can see him out of the corner of my eye. He's having a conversation with Dr. Jason Lyle, one of our Fortis Institute fellows, who is in studio this week making a resource. And Todd and Dr. Lyle are going to be having a conversation talking about all things sciencey, I think. So let's jump in and get to that conversation right now.
As a Sagittarius, I couldn't be more pleased that we have a guest who is an expert in astrology. Dr. Jason Lyle, did it start with Dionne Warwick?
How do I answer that? That's just so bad. This is so wrong on so many levels.
On every level. Right. This is Dr. Jason Lyle. He is a Fortis Fellow, and we are going to be spending a lot of time in this studio because you're here to record a resource with us, but you're also going to tell me about my future. When you look at the stars to determine events that are going to happen, do you think of Nancy Reagan?
I do, actually, because she was really into that, as I understand.
I know that. Yeah. I told you that science is a little rough for me.
Right. All right,
there's a difference between astrology and astronomy.
Yes.
What's the difference?
Astronomy is actual science. Astrology is
voodoo, sort of,
yeah, basically. And, you know, it was a Christian, Johannes Kepler, who first distinguished between those two. Because before him, people would associate those two. They thought that the planets affected events on Earth. And Johannes Kepler, from his studies of scripture, realized that, no, there's a difference between studying the predictable patterns in the heavens and then events on Earth. God's in control of both, but one doesn't cause the other.
Okay. When do you think we started to recognize these patterns and seeing these patterns? It wasn't like yesterday.
No, people have recognized patterns in nature in astronomy in particular, it's considered the oldest science. Josephus believed that Seth named the constellation Seth, the son of Adam. Of course, it's not in the Bible. We don't know for sure if that's true. But astronomy is a very ancient science, and it was necessary for people to know when to harvest, when to plant, and so on. That's why God made the stars to be for signs, seasons,
sure,
days, and years. So it's a very ancient science. And in some sense, the ancients knew it better than most people today, because today we don't need to know that stuff to know when to plant and harvest. We have other technologies that allow us to.
We have cell phones.
We have cell phones.
So exactly. We don't need that thing. But if I could correct you on one thing, you said that it's not in the Bible, so we don't know if it's true. Don't know if you got the evangelical memo. That doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so please try to keep up with the current trends in evangelicalism.
Of course.
So astronomy versus astrology, it had to have been a pagan thing, reading the stars to figure out your fate. Was there ever a time where we see that astrology was practiced in Judaism, in the Jewish religion?
Well, they did, and God warned against it. He said that they're not to be like the pagan nations that are terrified at the signs in the heavens. And so God is warning us against astrology. But God's very pro-astronomy. We're supposed to study the stars and how they move, but we're not to be terrified that they're going to somehow influence events on Earth.
Is astrology in the list of things God hates in Deuteronomy 18 with witchcraft, divination, sorcery? Is that in there?
I'm not sure if it is. But
okay.
But it's certainly later on.
Say it like it is. And then it is.
And then it is.
All right. So you are not into the tea leaves, reading the stars what have you, but studying the stars.
Right.
All right. As a Christian, what's the point? Why would we even bother looking to outer space?
Well, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And so if you really want to see God's glory, a good place to do it is in outer space. And you don't have to be a PhD astrophysicist to appreciate that beauty. You can go out on a beautiful summer night and look up, and it's stunning what you see. And of course, we have so much more advantages these days because we have the Hubble spacecraft and now the James Webb Space Telescope.
Right.
And we can see these beautiful images, and it's certainly reveals God's glory. It's incredibly beautiful.
All right, you brought up the James Webb telescope. Was it how many? That thing was not cheap.
No, it was $11 billion.
Billion?
Yeah.
As in billion?
Yeah.
Okay, why? What? How? Okay, must have been a government thing. Nevertheless.
It was.
Okay, there, well, you,
there you go.
If Elon Musk had done it, it would have been about $75.
Right.
But just
it would
work
twice as well.
And, probably yeah. so. Yeah. All right, so the James Webb, one of your articles that you've written, and by the way, you can stop writing now. You've written enough articles.
Oh, okay, I'm done.
You have a mountain of resources that just great stuff. And you talk, one of the titles, as I recall, of one of your articles was "The James Webb Telescope Disproves the Big Bang Theory."
Mm.
Did I read that right?
Or it challenges it, at least. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Challenges it. All right. Explain.
Yeah. So the James Webb was designed to be able to see farther out in space than any other telescope. And as galaxies get farther and farther away, their light gets shifted toward the red end of the spectrum, which means the wavelengths get stretched out. James Webb can see those stretched out wavelengths, those infrared wavelengths. And so it can see farther into space than Hubble. And in the secular view, as you look out farther into space, they say it's kind of like looking back in time because you're seeing the light when it was emitted and you know, or you're seeing the galaxies as they were when they emitted the light, even though we're seeing the light now. And they say it takes billions of years to get from there to here. Now, see, I would reject that as a Christian. I know the universe is thousands of years old, according to scripture. And so I made some predictions about what the James Webb would see that were different from what the secularists were saying. They're saying that we should see galaxies as they're just starting to be born, as they're just starting to form. I said, no, I don't believe that. I believe God spoke the galaxies into existence on day four of the creation week. So I expect that James Webb will see galaxies at these incredible distances farther than what the secularists are expecting, because they were expecting that they're looking back to a time when galaxies hadn't even formed yet. So at a certain distance, you should see no galaxies. I said, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to continue to see galaxies all the way out. I think those galaxies will not be babies that are just starting to form, small and clumpy, but that they will be massive galaxies, fully formed, and there will be far more of them than the secularists would expect, and that they would have what are called metals, heavy elements. The secularists believe that the first galaxies didn't have any of those. I said, no, I think they're kind of like galaxies nearby. And when James Webb was launched in December 2021, and then it sent back the first data in July of 2022, it confirmed all three of the predictions that I'd made. It found galaxies at distances far beyond what secularists were expecting. It found that these galaxies were massive, not baby galaxies, fully formed adult galaxies, and it found metals in those galaxies. And so all three of the secular predictions were refuted, and the three creationist predictions were confirmed.
So you are an astrologist. Look at how we just brought that full circle. This is Dr. Jason Lyle, author of How many books have you written?
A lot. Over 10, yeah.
It was over 10 books?
Yeah.
Okay. Your expertise is, you would say, in the stars, studying the heavens. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the Big Bang, because I don't know if you know this, but I happen to specialize in Big Bang cosmology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir, I do. And I know that there are some issues with the Big Bang that are big problems with the Big Bang.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, like the scientific problems with the Big Bang, missing you wrote this, how do you say that?
Monopoles.
Missing monopoles, right. All right. So what is a missing monopole and what does it have to do with the Big Bang theory?
Well, the Big Bang predicts these particles called monopoles. And as the name suggests, it's one pole. It's like, you know, I'm sure you've seen magnets and you have a North Pole and a South Pole. And if you push the North Poles together, they don't want to go.
Right.
And you'll flip around and they'll attract. Theoretically, you could have a particle that has only one pole, a North Pole or a South Pole, but not the other one. And these particles are predicted to be created in the kinds of conditions that would have occurred during the Big Bang, where you have an intense amount of energy in a very small space. And yet we don't find any. And that suggests that the universe never was in that state.
Is that right? Okay, so monopoles were fiction. We should find these, but we haven't found these.
Yes.
Well, that's fascinating. So monopoles, the lack thereof, proves the lack of the Big Bang. Okay, before I get to my other things that I've studied and put together for this whole Big Bang idea, are they still adhering to everything? All of the matter was basically the size of the point of a pencil. and it went kaboom. Is that still the theory?
The idea is not just the matter, but space itself is contained in the singularity. So if somebody asks, where did the Big Bang happen? The appropriate answer is everywhere, because everywhere was at the same point. And I know that's weird, but that's the model.
That's what they're saying, because space is usually overlooked in the whole conversation about origins, because you've got matter that we kind of get. But it's like, hold on a second. You've got time is another issue. Mm-hmm. And space, where did all, like, this space is something.
It is. It's not nothing, because you can measure it, right? I mean, it has width and it has three dimensions. And so it is something. It's not nothing.
Okay. So they're still sticking with this, and including the energy?
Yes.
That it took to go kaboom?
Yes.
And how many years are we up to? 4.65 billion?
I think the latest number is 13.8 billion.
That was the number when I was a kid. Mm. When I was indoctrinated in public school, it was like 4 point something. It's now we're up to 13 point.
It's probably
going to keep expanding, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
All right. And do they have any new explanations for the organization of all of this stuff?
None that I'm aware of, no.
Just sticking with it all just kind of happened because of the amount of time.
Yeah.
And they can't even get themselves to intelligent design, can they?
No, Stephen Hawking, one of his last statements before he met God was that he did not believe in God. He believed as long as you have a law of gravity, the universe will organize itself. And I haven't heard any better explanation than that. But that doesn't account for, it doesn't really account for irreducible complexity, the fact that you have complex machines that have different parts that work together. That none of that is sensible in a Big Bang view.
Much more still to come from Todd and Dr. Jason Lyle coming up on Wretched Radio. Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our ransom. Through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here at Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks in the studio for Todd Friel, who's also in the studio just in the corner over there. I can see him. I'm pointing at him. You can't see me pointing. But anyway, Todd and Dr. Jason Lyle having a conversation today. Dr. Lyle, of course, is an astrophysicist, Fortis Institute fellow. Let's get back to those guys now as they continue their conversation.
Do they explain where gravity came from?
That never is explained. It's just like, well, there's this law of gravity. Okay, how do you account for laws in a secular chance universe? That doesn't make any sense to me. If there's a law, there's a lawgiver. There has to be a mind that's behind nature that's organizing it for it to be organized this way. The secularists have never had a good explanation for that.
Are you a fan of intelligent design?
Well, I am. Now, I'm not referring to the intelligent design movement, but I do believe that things have been intelligently designed.
Well, I was referring to the movement.
Okay. There's some positive things about that movement, but I don't believe that that's the best approach, because they would try to say, well, we're going to take a neutral position and we're going to just show you that there's a mind behind nature, which there is, but it doesn't necessarily point people to God. There are folks who would say, oh yeah, there's a mind behind life, but it's not God. It's something else. And that person who rejects Christ is going to end up in hell the same as an atheist, because they haven't received Christ as Savior. I want to point people to the Savior. Jesus is not only our Savior, he's our Creator.
Yeah,
as well.
See, that's, you know, and you were with Answers in Genesis for 45 years?
Seven.
Almost. Did it feel like 45 with Ken? Yes, it did.
He
spent time with Ken,
fun.
And wow. So that's probably has something
that's
to do.
That's time dilation right there. Yeah. No, we had a lot of fun.
With Answers in Genesis, they focus on the gospel. It's not just about debating the age of the earth and origins. It's a gospel-centered ministry. So is yours, which is why we are grateful for you. But this is why you are so helpful to the body. I think it's pretty obvious to pretty much anybody. You're smarter than the average bear, but you have the ability to take it off the top shelf and bring it down. So even I get something like monopoles, which are one of the things that demonstrate the Big Bang Theory has some problems. But there are other things, according to you. The flatness problem.
Yes.
What is it?
It's that the energy of expansion of the universe exactly matches the inward force of gravity. The outward expansion balances the inward force of gravity exactly. And that's what we call flat. If it would be hyperbolic, if the expansion were greater, it would be sort of spherical if the gravity were greater, but it's not, it's flat. And that is very hard to explain if you believe that the universe just sort of popped into existence on its own. Why would those two forces be exactly in balance?
You know, every time I hang with a guy like you or one of the fellows from Answers in Genesis, just immediately get that sense and that reminder. It's like, I know the answer to it, but it's like, how can these people continue to deny the existence of God in creation? Mm. I mean, we talk about the irreducible complexity, and we talk about the design and the watchmaker argument. Okay, but this is this is so complex. Wow, that sure was lucky. And what was going on before we achieved flatness? Was it not, did it come together, or did it, it just sort of happened? What are the odds of that taking place? Have you ever done any statistical work on, based on all of the complexities that we're aware of, including these that you list in your book, Big Problems with the Big Bang, what are the odds that the Big Bang Theory is viable?
It's pretty much zero. I've seen lots of different kinds of calculations on that, or the calculation of the number, the chances of amino acids lining up just right to make a protein that's essential for life. None of them say it's probable. None of them say it's probable. The secularists would say, yes, it's improbable, but it only had to happen once. And that tends to be the counter-argument to that, to all these arguments for design. And going back to your question of why, Romans 1 answers
that. Yeah, yeah, it's right there.
Just, yeah.
You have to suppress the truth. You need a mechanism, which, by the way, I think that the denial of creation is what really just opens the floodgates to all of the social confusion.
Yes.
Because if you deny the existence of God, which is the single most intuitive fact, that there's nothing more obvious. You got all this stuff. There's a stuff maker. You deny that, and then you can be confused about genders and sexuality and virtually any moral issue. All right. Dr. Jason Lyle, that was the flatness problem. Inflating the complexities. What is it, and how does that just argue against Big Bang?
Well, there's this idea called inflation, having nothing to do with economic inflation, but rather the idea that the universe, when it's very small, suddenly accelerated. It began expanding at a much faster rate. That's the inflation. And then that somehow shut off, and then it went back to the slow rate. And then that is designed to explain several problems. It's designed to push the monopoles so far apart that we don't detect them. It's designed to explain the flatness problem. It's basically a way to try to get around some of these other problems. And so inflation was invented in the 80s, I believe, to try and account for these different problems.
I see. That's convenient when you can create something that you have no proof for to argue against something you have no proof for. The emperor seems to have no clothes. Where is the antimatter?
That's my favorite question to ask a Big Bang advocate, because according to the Big Bang, the universe starts as pure energy, because you can't have the temperature is too high to have atoms. Things like that require cooler temperatures. So it starts with energy. And then as the energy cools, it starts to convert to things like matter, protons, and electrons, and neutrons. Now, we can do this in a laboratory. We can take high energy and produce particles from them, particles of matter. But every time we do it, we get an equal amount of antimatter. Antimatter is like matter, but the charges of the particles are reversed. So normally an electron has a negative charge, but an antimatter version of electron has a positive charge. And whenever we make an electron from energy, we get what we call a positron, a positively charged electron. Every time we make a proton, we get something like an antiproton. Every time we make matter from energy, we get an equal amount of antimatter. And so if the entire universe was energy and eventually it became matter, there should be an exactly equal amount of antimatter. And that's called the baryon asymmetry problem, because matter is baryons and then antimatter would be antibaryons. There should be an equal amount, but there's not. The universe is almost completely matter. And I would argue that's a design feature, because when matter and antimatter touch, they go back to energy. They annihilate each other and go back to energy. So if we wanted to be able to have this conversation, we shouldn't be surrounded by a lot of antimatter. That would destroy us both.
Have any of the high-profile secularists who deny the existence of God in Origins ever interacted with your arguments?
Well, these aren't specifically my arguments. I mean, I've pointed out arguments that are in the literature that this baryon asymmetry problem. You can find that in secular textbooks. They'll admit that's an issue. And then they have their explanations for it. So yeah, they have interacted with that. One of the theories a while back was that occasionally, one time in some large number, when energy converts to matter, it doesn't produce an equal amount of antimatter. So the idea is the matter that's left over are the exceptions to that. And that particular theory predicted the decay of the proton, which has now been disproved. So there are other theories that have taken its place. So they have interacted with these problems with the Big Bang, and they've proposed solutions, but none of them so far have been demonstrated.
It's all speculative.
It is.
Yeah. All right. I have a confession to make. In that explanation of antimatter, I got stuck when you said pure energy. Wasn't there a song from the 80s where Leonard Nimoy at the very beginning said pure energy? Pure energy.
I don't remember that.
The difference between Dr. Jason Lyle. Isn't it nice to know that science actually supports the Bible? It shouldn't shock us, but it's always good that we have men who are filled with lots of gray matter that can reveal that modern-day science, in their efforts to try to explain origins, they fall woefully short. And the Bible is demonstrated again and again to be our reliable guide to how we got here and who got us here. If you had to give us a nugget that we would take with us regarding the Big Bang, we encounter somebody who says, well, it's just Big Bang. What would be kind of the one thing that would just totally pull the legs out from underneath them?
Well, it's contrary to scripture. That's the best argument.
Good for you.
We have the
good for you.
Yeah. We have the record of the creation of the universe by God himself, and that is the best evidence against the Big Bang.
Yeah, so use the Bible.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a scientist like you and I are.
Right.
Or at least like you are.
Right.
In order to reveal, it's just use the Bible because it cuts through anyway.
It does.
It's what does the converting work. Dr. Jason Lyle is a Fortis Fellow. I encourage you to get the Fortis Plus app. It's loaded with free stuff, videos, including you do hot takes regularly. How's about this? Would you like a hot take on global warming? He's the man, and you can find his materials at fortisplus.org. We're also going to be producing a resource with him that demonstrates that the proof of creation is simply overwhelming, which we should expect because that's what the Bible teaches. Super grateful that, yeah, you're an apologist, but more than anything, you're a proclaimer of the Bible. Dr. Jason Lyle.
What a great conversation between Todd and Dr. Jason Lyle. And you can actually hear the entirety of that conversation right now at fortisplus.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.